Parshas Vayigash is so full of dramatic reunions. You have the reunion between Yehuda and Yosef, the confrontation. You have the reunion between Yosef and Binyamin, the emotional reunion where they're crying. And then you have, of course, the reunion between Yaakov and Yosef. So many different reunions of people who hadn't been together for a long time getting back together. And Chazal have called our attention to one specific element of the Yaakov-Yosef reunion. And what I'd like to share with you in the shiur are observations from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and his star Talmud, Rav Rosenzweig, who's the Weisses are making an offer for the Shabbos. Rav Rosenzweig's daughter is getting married to one of our alumni. So it's appropriate also that we're quoting Rav Rosenzweig in the shiur this morning. Wish him a mazel tov on the simcha. It's very interesting how Rav Aaron was the Rebbe, and then the Talmud took the Rebbe's idea and then took it even a step further. Really a beautiful... really beautiful ideal that's going to be the whole focus of the shiur anyway. So if you can pick it up, please open up the Chumash. And I just want to describe one aspect first at the beginning. It's very well known. This is going to be the whole focus of the shiur. When Yaakov first hears that Yosef is still alive. So let's turn to... Page 135. So, I think most of us are probably familiar with the main details of the story. The story is that Yehuda comes and they take away Binyamin. So Yehuda's arguing for Binyamin, and Yosef finally reveals himself. Ani Yosef, and the brothers can't answer him. And Yosef takes very special care to make sure that his brothers are not embarrassed. They shouldn't be embarrassed. And he says to them, don't worry, this is all part of Hashem's master plan. I want you to go up to Canaan and get Yaakov and bring him down here. He says to them, Al tirguzu badarach, that's the first three words of page 135. Don't argue about whose fault it was along the way. He doesn't want them to be embarrassed. He doesn't want them to be upset. So the pasuk says, "Vayalumi Mitzrayim vayavo Eretz Canaan el Yaakov avim." They went up from Egypt and they came to Eretz Canaan to Yaakov, their father. Vayagidu lemor, and they said to him, "Od Yosef chai, chihu moshel b'chal Eretz Mitzrayim." Yosef is still alive and he's mamish a ruler of all of Egypt. Vayafag libo ki lohem in lohem. His heart went out because he didn't believe them. He fainted. Vayidaburi love is called Divrei Yosef, Asher Diber Aleim. But then they spoke to him about all the words of Yosef. He spoke to them. Vayar es ha'agalos. He saw the wagons. He saw the wagons that Yosef, or Paro, it's not clear, here it says, Vayar es ha'agalos asher shalach Yosef la'seis osam. He saw the wagons, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. When he heard this news and he fainted, then he sees the wagons. He saw the wagons that Yosef sent to carry him, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem, and the spirit of Yaakov lived. Yaakov got some type of spiritual chizuk. He got an incredible amount of chizuk from seeing the wagons. Vatechi ruach Yaakov avim. So if you look inside Rashi, the famous Rashi, a very well-known concept, look on the bottom of page 135. Rashi, Pasuk, Chav Zayin. Es kol divrei Yosef. When he heard the words of Yosef, they told him all the words of Yosef, and he saw the agolos. Simon Masar Lahem. He gave them a simon. Bameh Haya Osek Kishapiresh Mimenu. Parshas Egla Arufa, he gave them a simon that the father was learning with the son. What topic was the father learning with the son? Was Yaakov learning with Yosef at the time that he had sent him away, that he had sent him to go check on his brothers? If you remember, Yaakov sent Yosef to check on his brothers. That was the last time he saw him. And he sent Yosef to check on his brothers. So the simon that he gave them, Yosef gave them a simon. What sugya, what area of the Torah were they studying together at the time that Yosef had last seen Yaakov? They were studying together the part of the Torah called Egla Arufa. What's the Egla Arufa? The Egla Arufa is a parasha in the Torah we'll see in a couple of seconds. The Egla Arufa was if you find a dead body between two cities, and you don't know who killed the person, so the Zakenim, the elders of the city who the dead body is closest to, the elders of that city, they have to go take a calf and bring it down to an area that was never worked, and they slaughter the calf. The whole ritual of the Egla Arufa, we'll see it inside in a moment. And the Torah says that the Zakenim, the elders of the city, have to say, Yadenu lo shafchu es adam hazeh. We did not spill this blood, and we're offering this animal as a kapara, as an atonement for this dead body. We didn't spill the blood. Hashem, you should forgive the Jewish people for all of their iniquities. Very, very fascinating, interesting sugya. So Rashi says that v'zehu shenemar, look back inside the Rashi, v'yar es ha'agolos asher shalach Yosef. He saw the wagons that Yosef sent. V'lo nemar shalach paro. That's why it says asher shalach Yosef. Right beforehand in the pasuk it actually says that paro sent them. Right, because if you look back on page 134 in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says in Pasuk Chaf Vayasu Kemeisav Vayitin Lam Yosef Agalos Al Pi Paro, and Yosef gave them Agalos based on the say so of Paro. So, but now it says, and over here it says, Vayaras Agalos Asheshalach Yosef. So the Rishonim talk about that. Who sent them? Did Paro send them? Did Yosef send them? So Rashi's saying over here, he had given them a simon b'maha ya'osek k'shepirish menem b'pashas egla arufa. V'zehu shenemar v'yaris ha'agalos asher shalach Yosef. That's why it says, the agalos that Yosef sent, v'lo nemar asher shalach paro, because Yosef was involved to the extent that this was part of the simon. This is part of the simon. The Torah is trying to call attention to the fact that Yosef was intending to hint, based on the play on words, agala and egla. So he sent them wagons, and this was reminded Yaakov of the fact that they had studied Torah together before he left. So this, all of a sudden, when he sees the agalos and he remembers the learning of egla arufa that they learned together. He saw the agalos, the wagons, and because of the agala, he remembered the egla, the egel, that they had studied together. So this gave Yaakov a tremendous sense of chizuk and inspiration. Question is, what exactly is the symbolism of egla arufa? I mean, did that just happen to be the last sukkah they were learning together? Did that just happen to be the last thing they were learning? So they were learning that, so Yosef gave him a symbol. And all of a sudden, that gave Yaakov a sense of chiyus. By the way, in the parish of Tosus, on the Chumash, I didn't see this inside, I saw it quoted. I'm not sure if it's the Das Zakenim Mibalei HaTosus, or there's another commentary called the parish of Tosus of Chumash. One of the commentaries, other commentaries say that it wasn't Egla Arufa, it was that they were learning the sugya of the Agalos in the Mishkan, the wagons that were used to transport the Mishkan, the parts of the Mishkan. That's the Agalos that were that were used. So there's different interpretations. So what exactly is the symbolism of this? So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says as follows. Rav Aaron suggests as follows. We know that Yosef and Yaakov had a very special learning relationship. If you'll remember, the Torah says that Yaakov loved Yosef ki ben zikunim hulo. Yaakov loved Yosef because he was ben zikunim. And Unkelus translates ben zikunim as bar chachima. He was wise. Which the Mefarshim have come to understand means, and Rashi quotes over there also, that he knew how to learn Torah. As a matter of fact, the Medrash says that Yaakov taught Yosef everything he learned in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever. And the Ramban, I want to quote to you the Ramban, what the Ramban says. Ki ben zekunim hu lo, the Ramban says, Pashup Shad is, of course, Shinola lo be'esik nuso. Right? The son that's born when the parents are older is oftentimes a very favorite son. The baby of the family. When sometimes, you know, the parents have, sometimes, you know, they've had it already in the parenting realm, and the young child grows up with older parents, so sometimes it's much more difficult. Ari, you may need a key this morning, so. So, the Ramban says like this: Ki ben zekunim ulosh v'unklus tirgim ari chachim v'unklus tirgim ari bar chachim hule. Shekol ma shalom ad mishem ve'aver masalo. But then he says, ve'inenu nochem be'inai. The Ramban doesn't like these pshatim. Rather, he says, v'anira be'inai ki minag hazakenim sheikhu echad mibneiam aktanim lios imo l'sharso. The Ramban says, the minhag of old people is they take one of their young sons to be there with them, to serve them, to be their shamish. V'hu nishan al yado tamid lo yipari menu. V'hu nikolo ben zikunav. Bavusha yishar shul zikunav. Ramban says, ben zikunav means that he's the one who, he was mishamishim. He was the one who helped him out in his old age. V'hine lokach Yaakov es Yosef l'dover hazeh. Yaakov took Yosef for this. V'haya imo tamid. But then he says, "V'unklus," who says, "Bar Chochim Yisalomar, Shaya Ben Das V'Chochim Be'Enei Aviv, V'Tamo Kitam Zekenim." He says, "Unklus" means when he says "Bar Chochim Ben Zekunim," means that even at a young age, Yosef already had deep understanding in the ideas of Yiddishkeit, in the ideas of Torah. V'Tirgim Be'Yel Zekunim Bar Sabatin Kilomar Kosav Kan Ki Ben Zekunim Shaya Ken Be'Ena. And it says, then he quotes the Bereshis Rabbah, Kol ma shalom ad mishem ve'aver masalo, lomar, shemosalo chochmos v'sisrei Torah, u'mitzoh maskil u'bal sod behem, kilu haya zakein v'rav yamim. That Yaakov and Yosef had a chavrusashaft. They learned together, and Yaakov was able to pass on to him the deep mysteries and secrets of Torah. So Rav Aaron says, very, very beautifully, that what is it that lifted the spirits of Yaakov? What was the siman that he was being moser to him? We know that it's a tremendous mitzvah and obligation for a father to pass on the Torah traditions to his son. For a father to teach Torah to his son. Right? The Torah says, V'limadetem osem es b'neichem v'shinantam livanecha. Gemara says, b'necha elu talmidecha. But certainly, there's a simple pshat also that a father has an obligation to teach his son Torah. A father has an obligation to teach his son Torah. And the Pasuk says also, Hishamar lecha u'shmor navshcha ma'od. Pasuk of Parshas v'eschanan, pentishkas advar m'sharo einecha. You have to be very careful. V'limadetem V'hodatim levanecha v'levnei vanecha. You shall teach your children and your children's children. Yom asher amata v'nei Hashem lakecha b'chorev. Teach them about the day that Hashem stood before you at Har Sinai. Which of course the Ramban on that pasuk learns out that it's a mitzvah not only to transmit Torah to your children, but it's a mitzvah to transmit the whole Mesorah, the whole idea of what it means to be a Jew. Mama Har Sinai, we've spoken many times, the sound and light show, the thunder and lightning, the power and the awesome majesty and the grandeur of Torah, the Chumash says, V'hodatim levanecha v'levnei vanecha. So there's an obligation on a father to teach his son Torah, and also to communicate to him the whole Mesorah, the whole experience of what it means to be a Jew. And Rav Hutner, who happens to be Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Rebbe, Hutner writes in one place, you know, the Gemara says that the Gemara praises Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla, who established the whole yeshiva system. The Gemara praises him. He's the one who came up with the idea to establish the yeshiva system. Rav Hutner says, but there's a certain b'dievet in the yeshiva system. The yeshiva system was started because there were many fathers and parents who weren't learned themselves, and the kids weren't able to learn Torah. So he established the yeshiva system so chas v'shalom, Torah shouldn't be passed on to the next generation. But the truth is that Rav Hutner writes that the ikar, the main way the Torah is supposed to be passed through the generations, is father to son, is in the home, is in the family, is in the house. It shouldn't just be you send your kid to yeshiva and he studies Torah in yeshiva. A boy should feel, a girl should feel, a child should feel that the home is a home that's suffused with Torah study. That there's Torah study in the home between father and son. And there's so many advantages. There's so many advantages that you have if father and son are zoche to a Torah study relationship. Again, sometimes the parents have no background and really cannot provide this. So for that, you need a yeshiva. And of course, the yeshiva supplements. You send your kids to yeshiva, so the yeshiva helps give them that foundation. But yes, the father has so many obligations to the son, but one of the most fundamental, what the Torah says, v'shinantan levanecha, v'hodatan levanecha, v'levnei vanecha, that a father has an obligation to teach his son Torah. So even though the father's busy, and he has a lot of other commitments, but this commitment to spend time, everyone on their own level could spend a little bit of time studying Torah with their own children, accomplishes many, many, many things. The first is, says Rav Aaron, the first thing is that the Torah that the boy learns is not just something he does. He goes to yeshiva, so right, you go to work, you work. You go to the ball game, you watch a ball game. So you go to yeshiva, you study Torah. That's what I do. But if the Torah is studied between father and son in the home is where the child gets his nurturing. It's where he gets his whole outlook on life. The home is where the child gets instilled with all of his sensitivities and all of his... That's where he eats and drinks and receives literally sustenance. It's where he gets his self-esteem from. It's where the child gets so much from the home. So if Torah study is part of the bond of that relationship, says Rav Aaron, so the child will begin to see Torah study not just as something he does, but as crucial and fundamental to his whole life. That's where he gets his yanika from. That's where he gets his sustenance from. If the parent-child relationship is suffused with Torah study, so the child will begin to view Torah study not just as something he does, but as really something essential to his whole sustenance and growth in life. The second thing he says, although this may be counterintuitive at first, he says that if a father and son have a Torah study relationship, he says this greatly strengthens the relationship between parents and children. Sometimes I learn with my kid, he tells me I don't know what I'm talking about. It's almost like teaching your kid how to drive. Right? Certain things they say, you know, maybe fathers shouldn't teach their kids. It'll end up making more machloikas. But I forgot about that. Okay, we'll do it at the end. So this will strengthen the relationship, because that's the whole idea that Yosef, of course, remembered the most yukno shalaviv. Yosef, at the time of his greatest need, he remembered the visage of his father, because there was that Torah study relationship that they had. So that strengthened the bond, that he saw the whole personality of his father in front of him, the Torah personality. If your child views you as having a Torah personality, and he knows that you stand for Torah study and for Yiddishkeit, so the bond will be that much stronger. But I'd like to add, there's also a third thing, and that is that if a father studies Torah with his son, so that'll make such an incredible impact on the child about the importance of Torah study. There's no substitute for that. I say all the time in the yeshiva, it happens a lot of times. I don't say it all the time. Maybe in 13 years I've said it once in the way that I'm about to say. You'll understand what I mean in a moment. But sometimes you have a parent who says to me, I really wish my kid was more interested in learning. I really wish my kid, you know, he's not interested, and I would love him to be more interested in learning in yeshiva. I would love him to be more into learning, and how come he's not into it? He's turned off and he's not there. Like, in the back of my mind, I want to say to the father, I usually don't say it. 99% of the time I say, oh, you don't want to say it. I say, does he ever see you opening up a sefer? And if your child never sees the father ever opening up a sefer, there is no chance that the child is ever going to want to be interested in learning. If the child doesn't see the father ever going, I shouldn't say no chance, but little to no chance that the child is ever going to really want to be in front of him. He never sees his father going to a shir. He never sees his father being koveit and Torah. We're all very, very busy. So it's one thing for a father to establish some time to learn, but it's another thing if the father actually sets 10 minutes a week. Who of us can't say we don't have 10 minutes a week, a half hour a week, a little bit of time on a Shabbos or some time to spend some time learning with the child? Rav Aaron told two stories in this regard, and I've quoted these stories before, but not on Parshas Vayigash. He says, I'm not in the habit of telling stories, he says, but in this sicha he told two stories. Rav Aaron said like this. In one story he said that he remembers when he was 8 years old. I don't remember too many things when I was 8 years old, but he remembers when he was 8 years old sitting on his father's lap, and they completed learning the parsha in the Chumash, Parshas Truma. He says, I remember sitting on my father's lap, and my father was so overjoyed, and he turned to my mother and says, now I know what we're going to do in Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, it's going to be fathers learning with their children. Now I know. That's what Gan Eden is going to be. That was one story. Then he said the second story. That one you might not remember that I said, but the second story he said like this. He said, when his kids were in high school, they went to Netiv Meir in Bayit Vegan. Some of you may remember Netiv Meir. So Netiv Meir in Bayit Vegan. So he said, when my kids were in high school, I used to go learn two nights a week with my kids in the Tiv Meir, one night with one of them, my sons, and one night with my other. I used to come to the yeshiva learn with my kids. So somebody once remarked to me, maybe one of the Rebbe's or one of the Solomon, it's like, wow, it's incredible. You're such a busy Rosh Yeshiva that you make the time. What an incredible thing that you make the time to learn, to step out of the house and go to the yeshiva and learn a night with your kids. So Rav Aaron says, I looked at the guy like he fell off the moon. He said, I looked at the guy, he says, what are you, out of your mind? I make the time for this? I don't make the time for this. This is my whole existence. I make the time for the other things that I do. This I don't need to make the time for. This is part of who I am. This is my whole essence. I don't need to make the time for this. Like, he looked at me like, it's crazy. It's such a big thing. You make the time to learn with your kids? That's what I get paid to do. I'm a father. A father learns with his kids. That's the whole idea. So, whether you say the parsha was Egel Arufa or you say the parsha was the Agolos, So the idea here was, according to Rav Aaron and Rabbi Rosenzweig mentioned this as well, he said that what is it that caused the spirit of Yaakov to be strengthened, to see that that learning relationship that I had with my child, it stuck throughout the years, throughout all the years of Yosef in oppression, throughout all the years of Yosef in Egypt, throughout all the years of Yosef facing all the difficulties that he had. He remembered that Torah relationship that he had with his father. So point number one, Ragosai, is, and I spent more time in it than I thought I was going to, or I wanted to, but point number one is the importance of a father establishing a Torah relationship with the son. But his Talmud, Rav Rosenzweig, takes it one step further. What's the particular significance of Egla Rufa? Why the parasha of Egla Rufa? Was it just that happened to be the parasha they were studying? According to Rav Aaron, so whatever parasha it was, Egla Rufa, it doesn't make a difference. The Iker point that he tried to get out of it is it's important to learn with your son, and that the son remembers the learning relationship of the father. But his Talmud of Rosenzweig says something very, very beautiful. And for that, I'd just like you briefly, if you could turn to the parish of Egla Rufa, Dvarim Chaf Aleph Vav. Dvarim Chaf Aleph Vav. The end of parish is Shoftim. So, if you look on page 564, Ki Yimatzei Chalal Ba'adamash Hashem L'Kanosin Lach Lono Dami Yiko. So they measure, the Zakenim go out and they measure which city it was close to. So the city it was closest to, the elders of that city, they take a calf and they bring the calf to an unworked valley, and the Shof, the Kohanim come and they say, all the Zakenim come, they wash their hands, they behead this animal, and they wash their hands near there, and they sort of right wash your hands of the sin, quite literally. Vanu v'amru on the bottom of Pasuk Zayin, Yodeinu lo shafchu es adam hazeh ve'einu lo ro. Our hands didn't spill this blood. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi quotes from the Gemara. Look at Rashi on the bottom of the page. The last word on the bottom of the page, page 564, Yodeinu lo shafchu, says Rashi, T'chi saleh, t'chi olsa leiv shezikne bezen shofchi damimim. It's incredible thing. Incredible, right? The Zakenim have to wash their hands saying, we didn't kill this guy. Why would you have thought that all the tzaddikim, tamid chachamim, the leaders, killed him? V'chi olsa aleiv shezikne bezen shokhi tamim elo lo re'inu patanu b'lo mazonos b'lo levaya. We didn't see him. What they're saying is that we didn't see this guy and send him out without mazonos and without levaya, without accompanying him. The Gemara in Sota, on Daf Mehamed Beis, learns from here a number of halachos. One of them is that when anybody ever leaves your home, if you have a guest at your house, you have a guest over for Shabbos afternoon, there's a special mitzvah that you have to accompany the guest out the door. And the idea is that you're supposed to care for him and make sure that he knows his way and make sure that he's safe. And it shouldn't look like he's just leaving by himself, and maybe robbers or other people, he'll be a target. But if people see that people care about him and he has connections and people know about him, they're going to take care of him. So there's a special mitzvah to accompany the person out the door. Chazal also learned from this, from the whole story with Yosef, that Hanifrat mechaver lo yiparet ela mitoch dvar halacha shemitoch kach zachrehu. When you leave a person, you're supposed to discuss halacha, because he'll remember. We discussed this once. So I'm going to skip to the end here. The Chizkuni has a pshat. Pasha pshat, the Chizkuni says that Yaakov actually was learning Egla Rufa with him, and then he actually did escort him. Yaakov did escort him, and that's actually what saved him, what helped him, what protected him throughout all the gullus. But in a deeper way, Rosenzweig says like this: why was it that Yaakov was studying the parasha of Egla Rufa with him? So he wants to say like this. I'm going to abbreviate something that really could be said in very long, much longer, abbreviate very short. Why Egla Rufa were they studying? Yosef was taken to task. If you look at the Pesukim, Yaakov wasn't so happy with him. He was bragging about the dreams a little bit. He shouldn't have said the dreams to him. He caused a lot to the enmity and to the discord and the disharmony and disunity, lack of unity that happened with the brothers. Says Rav Yosef, why was he learning Egla Rufa with him? What's the whole yisod of the parasha of Egla Rufa? The whole yisod of the parasha of Egla Rufa is that the elders and the zakenim and the leaders have to take achrayas. Not just achrayas that we didn't kill the guy. Not just achrayas that we didn't patanu below mazonos, we didn't feed him, we didn't escort him out of the city. That we're saying that we didn't see him and we didn't feed him. We didn't not escort him out of the city to show that we cared about him. The message of Egla Rufa is that leaders of a community and everyone in a community is responsible to make sure that the members of not just being melaveh, every member of the community, and supporting and protecting every member of the community so that they shouldn't feel alone, they shouldn't feel like someone's going to get into a fight with them, get angry at them, and kill them. Not just that, but providing a whole atmosphere and environment of peace and brotherliness and care. The elders of a city, the leaders of a city are responsible for creating an atmosphere, an environment in the city that every person feels protected, that every person feels a member and a part of it, and doesn't feel like an outcast, that people are going to get angry and fight with him and leave him out of the city, which would cause something, a tragedy, like somebody should be walking along the way and he gets killed and nobody even knows who he is, nobody knows. If somebody's in your city, if somebody's a member, a neighbor of yours, a member of yours, a brother of yours, you have to take care to make sure they don't feel like an outcast. So says Rav Rosenzweig, why were they learning the parasha of Egla Rufa? Why were they learning the parasha of Egla Rufa? Yaakov was trying to teach Yosef a message. You're creating some disunity and disharmony, a lack of achdus among the brothers. He was learning with him Egla Rufa to say that it's their achrayas of leaders, of brothers who are leaders, to make sure that the brothers, that your brothers feel a part of it. They feel part of what's going on. And then he right away, so they learned Egla Rufa together, and he sent them right away to Hebron, go check on the brothers. Go make up with them. Go be a real leader. Don't be someone who's creating strife, thank you, and enmity, and a lack of unity among the brothers. Go make up with them. And what happens? Things get worse. And the brothers, whatever their cheshbon was, they were also wrong, obviously. And they sell him down to slavery in Egypt. And he goes down to Egypt. And all of a sudden, he makes it. He becomes the ruler. Vayaker Yosef Hezecha Vehem Lo Ikiru. And then he sees the brothers come down. And Yosef wants to do a few things. First of all, he wants to see if they have learned their lesson. He creates this whole ruse with Binyamin, the whole story, to see if they really learned the lesson of caring about a brother. But then he also displays incredible care about the brothers. He wants to make sure they don't get embarrassed. He throws everybody out. We spoke about that in the past. He doesn't want to embarrass them. He says, don't feel upset. It wasn't it wasn't you. God arranged this whole thing, and it was part of a master plan to help everybody get better. And you see that Yosef's rebuilding the torn relationship that he had with his brothers. He's trying to rebuild it. So when he sends him the Agolos, says Rav Rosenzweig, he's showing his father that he learned the lesson of Egla Arufa. That he learned the lesson that a leader has to make sure that people feel comfortable, that people feel accepted, that people feel welcome, and that's the beginning of the reunification of the Jewish people, where the leaders may see to it that every Jew feels part of the community, that every Jew feels like he's safe and he's protected and he has friends and he has a chevra and he's part of the social fabric of the community. That's Egla Arufa. That was the lesson that Yosef was trying to communicate to his father. He was trying to tell him that Abba, I finally, after all these years, learned the lesson of Egla Arufa. I learned that a Jew has to take responsibility, that a Jewish leader has to make sure he does Levaya. He has to actually accompany his guests. He has to care for everyone in his community. He has to look. The Jews, we have to look for those people in our communities who maybe are on the outskirts of the shul, of the community, who maybe don't get invited over, who don't have people looking out for them, who don't have a strong sense of chevra, a strong sense of community. We have to be very, very careful to look out for these Jews. The Jews who everybody knows and everybody's friendly with, and the popular people and the people who everybody always wants to be friendly with. So those Jews, we're not worried that an Egla Arufa kind of situation. Again, we shouldn't just take it that someone's lying dead between the two fields, mamish, right? There's a lot of ways that somebody could be dead. It's not just dead if you're lacking life. There are plenty of people who are dead people between two cities because they have no chevra, they have no people to care about them. They feel like they're bounced around from place to place, and they're not popular, and they're often not successful, and so many different ills that happen with quote-unquote dead people, right? Who says, "Amalvim p'nei chaver baradnes ki'ilu shofech damim." Somebody who is poor is chashuv kemes. Right? There's people who have no money, so they're also dead. People without parnasa, people without chevra. So the lesson, the second lesson of the Egla Arufa, of the Agolos, of the wagons that Yosef sent, the second lesson is we have to make sure, as leaders of our communities, we have to make sure that there's no mace close to our city, there's no mace in our city, there's no person who we can't, who we're going to be concerned about, that we didn't take care of him, we didn't feed him, we didn't clothe him. We have to promote an atmosphere within our communities that takes care of every single member of the community. So, hopefully, these two lessons of the Agolos we can take to heart. We can make sure to set aside time to learn with our children, and that our children should see the Torah studies a priority, so that the nourishment and the self-esteem that they get in our homes will be one not just of physical sustenance and chizuk and support, which is of course so important, but perhaps even more importantly, that our children will get from us spiritual support. Our children will get from us a sense of what's really important in life, of what our main goal as parents are, to give over the Mesorah, the tradition, Yom HaShemata, Hashem Elokecha B'chorif, the whole Sinai experience. And also, hopefully, as a community, we can learn the second lesson of the Talmud. That was the lesson of the Rebbe, Rav Aaron. And the Talmud, Rav Rosenzweig, took it a step further and said, not just the Torah relationship, but you learn from Egla Arufa, particularly the moral, social responsibility that we all have to take care of every member of Klal Yisrael. Hopefully, we'll be able to take care of every member of Klal Yisrael and inspire our communities to be ones that every Jew feels loved and holy and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper way. I want to just mention at the end, I didn't mention at the beginning, was the last minute saying that unfortunately our chaver, Jack Katz, lost his mother. That's why some people had to go out. So this morning's shiur was sponsored by Jerry and Esther Williams, Lezecha Nishmas, Mrs. Kayla Katz, Aleha Shalom, the mother of Jack Katz, chairman of Halbel's Board of Governors. May her neshama have an aliyah.